Diesel and gas prices remain volatile, and when the bioprocessing facility in Cloverdale is set to reopen. This is Hoosier Ag Today's podcast for your Thursday, May 26, 2022. I'm CJ Miller. Today's podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to find out more. Diesel and gas prices are at an all-time high. Eric Pfeiffer reports on what could cause those prices to rise even higher this summer. Well, it was shut down back in 2019, but now the bioprocessing facility in Cloverdale in Putnam County is expected to be back up and running next year. You'll hear how many millions of bushels of Indiana corn are expected to be used each year at the facility. Rain for the next 3 days, but sunny, hot, and dry for your Memorial Day weekend. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast is coming up. And Tom Fritz with the EFG Group previews the grain markets for Thursday. All of that is coming up in the HAT Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Worries about the oil supply chain driving gas and diesel prices higher, and Cloverdale's Poet Plant reopening next year. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. They remind you that you aren't alone, even when times feel dark and stressful. They're here to help. Visit extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. After weeks of volatile oil prices, there has been some stability on the international scene. However, refined products here in the U.S. have continued that roller coaster movement, with gasoline and diesel prices moving higher over the past week. The average price for Indiana unleaded gas was at $4.58 a gallon on Wednesday, while Indiana diesel averaged $5.38. Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says while some diesel prices are closing in on $6 a gallon, he believes there could be some improvements at the local station.
We've seen some improvement in diesel prices as inventories have started to go up, but for gasoline, it may be the other story that prices could continue inching up as we are now just a week away from the start of the summer driving season.
DeHaan noted between the war in Ukraine, increasing COVID case counts in the U.S. and internationally, and the upcoming hurricane season in the Atlantic, he worries the oil supply chain could easily be stressed.
We aren't to the point yet where we could weather even a minor disruption, especially with demand that's likely to be very high this summer. The worry is that very quickly, any minute refinery issue could blow up very quickly into a gas price or diesel price surge.
DeHaan added that with so many questions, he anticipates fuel prices, both diesel and gas, will be bumpy this summer.
Again this year, every driver in the Indianapolis 500 is racing to make the acquaintance of two Indiana dairy farmers, and they know exactly where to find them. Victory Circle at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Because those dairy farmers will be continuing one of the sports world's most beloved traditions, the Indianapolis 500 Victory Circle Bottle of Milk. The legendary Louis Meyer, Indy's first three-time winner, launched the tradition in the 1930s when he asked for a glass of buttermilk to quench his thirst after a grueling 500 miles. Nine decades, thousands of miles, and gallons of ice-cold milk later, the iconic celebration endures.
So grab your own glass of ice-cold goodness and share the same great taste that's savored by Indianapolis 500 champions in May and every day. Winners drink milk.
American Dairy Association Indiana, your Hoosier dairy farm families.
Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com. That's winnersdrinkmilk.com.
This is Money Minutes, tips from the financial experts at AgriFinancial. And joining me is Gene Charvel, Regional Sales Officer with AgriFinancial. And this month we have been focusing on financing Morton buildings. And Gene, there are a number of ways to finance a Morton building. What's the most popular?
Most of the financing that we provide for Morton's farm-related buildings is lease financing.
But AgriFinancial can offer more than just a lease, right?
For some, they like the idea of having a loan. loan. And so we've been able to finance Morton buildings using both leases or loans, depending on what the needs of the customer are.
And you can arrange the financing without a mortgage being involved.
We can go in and provide a building lease on the new Morton building and not require a mortgage or disturb a mortgage that may already be in place.
Gene Charvel with AgriFinancial. For more information, visit cgb-agfi.com. This has been Money Minute from AgriFinancial.
On Wednesday, POET announced they'll be reopening their bioprocessing facility in Cloverdale, creating 50 full-time local jobs and generating demand for 34 million bushels of corn from Indiana farmers annually. You can read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Planting a seed is an act of faith. And even if it makes it to maturity, Mother Nature and markets determine the value, right? Not when you've got your corn and soybean checkoffs. The checkoff is like a little seed coat of protection. It's like planting a penny to grow a dollar. In fact, with investments in research, new uses, and demand creation, we've seen a $12 return to the farm for every soybean checkoff dollar invested. Check out your Indiana checkoffs at yourcheckoff.org.
Plenty of rain coming here still over the next 2 days. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. So we are in the midst of a three-day rain event. Today is day two. Rains happened yesterday. Today, arguably the best shot at thunderstorm activity as a frontal boundary moves through. And then we have wraparound backside moisture tomorrow. Let's just say right up front, we are unchanged in our thought process with regard to how much moisture we're going to see. Combined to totals for this event, 0.5 to 2 inches with coverage at 100% of the state. Really, today comes down to thunderstorms and where they pop up. They can be happening here from right now all the way through this evening. Tomorrow, with the wraparound backside moisture, it's more of a gentle shower outbreak, but I can't rule out some thunderstorms there either. But we're hoping to put this behind us with the least amount of rain possible. It really comes down to thunderstorms today, I think, as to the dominating factor there. Sunny, hot, and dry for the weekend. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Memorial Day, we're looking at well above normal temperatures. I think we're looking at lower 90s for Monday. But we're also seeing good evaporation. Should see high humidity. We keep this hot, dry weather intact for Tuesday, Wednesday, and the first part of Thursday of next week. Our next round of moisture looks to move into the Hoosier State Thursday night through Friday of next week. We're looking at anywhere from a 1/10 to 6/10 of an inch of moisture coverage, about 60 to 70% of Indiana, north first and then south. Going into next weekend, the 4th and 5th, I do believe we try and dry out a little bit, but there is an active precipitation track just to our south over the Tennessee Valley and the southern part of the Ohio Valley, so we have to keep an eye on that to see if that moisture wants to move forth at all. We could use an extended period of drying after the rains that we're dealing with right now. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know that a little extra can do a whole lot for our customers. That's why we're returning $63 million in patronage straight back to our eligible customers in Indiana this year. Does your lender do that? To learn more about our patronage program and eligibility, visit e-farmcredit.com/patronage. Patronage is a decision the Board of Directors considers and makes every year. It is not a guaranteed payment, but rather a return of our earnings paid to patronage-eligible customers of Farm Credit Mid-America according to Board resolution.
A lower day of trade in the grain markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm C.J. Miller. Numbers from Wednesday's grain and livestock markets are straight ahead, but first, let's check in with Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all traded lower Wednesday. The markets were impacted by the USDA's weekly planting numbers released on Monday, as well as news out of China that they will start allowing Brazilian grain imports to offset the loss of grain that would have come from Ukraine. So, Tom, what were some of the other factors that drove Wednesday's grain markets?
Well, I think the big item is, you know, you covered what the USDA gave us on Monday afternoon as far as planting progress. And, you know, yesterday China announced they're working out a deal with Brazil to import corn. But then again, overnight, early this morning, I'm not sure who made the announcement, but Russia talks about opening a safe corridor for grain exports out of Ukraine. So everybody thinks, oh, you know, things are loosening up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, with that said, You know, you had July corn down almost 17 cents. Dece corn down 18 cents. Wheat, you know, granted, wheat finishes lower in Chicago, but it's also 34 cents off the low. Same thing holds true for Kansas City wheat. In fact, it's 41 cents off its low, and Minneapolis wheat actually finished higher. So, you know, I think, you take the emotion that went in with that early break, and now you start to think about it realistically. Is Russia really going to do that? Now, Russia said, yeah, we'll open a safe corridor for Ukraine exports, but it's going to be on a quid pro quo basis. We want you to lift sanctions. And right now, you know, the market action is telling us that, no, that's not going to happen. But then again, from a technical standpoint, what was it? On May 12th, July wheat started a rally that topped out $1.80 higher. And then if you look at today's low, we almost erased that entire rally. Kansas City wheat, that rallied May 12th, that started a $1.90 rally, and it was totally reversed today. So from a technical standpoint, the market's deserving of a bounce after seeing such a massive break in such a short period of time. But, you know, we're still dealing with slow planting rates as far as spring wheat is concerned. Now, the window has opened this week for North Dakota and Minnesota. But, you know, I wonder how much can they get done before the rains move back in this weekend. So, you know, that's kind of an unknown. And plus, you know, the condition of the hard red winter wheat. Now, they've seen some pretty decent moisture over the last couple of days. But if you look at where that crop is in its maturity cycle, one has to question, is that rain beneficial or not? So, you know, I think you combine those factors with the sharp break that we've had over the last number of days, it allows the market to bounce here, even though we finished lower in Kansas City, lower in Chicago. But, you know, if you look where we are in, you know, relationship to the day's low, it was a great day. Corn, for that matter, also. Old crop corn, we've got good demand for it. We've yet to see the effects of China buying corn out of Brazil. Brazil's second season harvest is just barely getting underway. So, you know, I think there's still some time before we actually see shipments of corn out of Brazil to China. And so, you know, the U.S. is still, call it the big dog as far as world exports are concerned. New crop corn, you know, what we've got in the ground, and with current weather patterns, I think the, you know, what we've planted so far, it's going to get off to an excellent start. So, you know, I think that's why new crop corn lags a little bit versus old crop corn. And soybeans, you know, soybeans fell victim to soybean oil. You know, the trade's still trying to figure out this vegetable oil market. It just literally trades all over the place, whether it's palm oil, whether it's soybean oil, whether it's canola oil. I don't think right now anybody's got a good handle on it. But soybeans, you know, they managed to put in decent performance. Old crop beans finished down 12, but they are, what, almost 16 cents off the low. The meal market is holding on to, you know, recent gains. You know, when it rallied out of the hole, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And there are signs that the crush is going to slow down. Your board crush margins have come down noticeably in the last few weeks, and that would suggest that, okay, we're going to slow the crush down. That would take some of the weight off the meal market because, you know, it seems like since wintertime, crushers here in this country have been crushing for bean oil, and that creates excessive meal stocks. And so if we can slow our crush down, that takes some of the heat off the meal market. But, you know, we've got lots of emotion here. You look at the different markets, wheat in particular, it's got high volatility. Corn and beans are not far behind in as far as their volatility goes. But, you know, we've got a number of factors that create a lot of this push-pull, as I call it, you know, from day to day. And then last but not least, we got a three-day weekend coming at us. Three-day weekends are notorious or creating additional volatility going into that weekend.
Once again, Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago. A check of Wednesday's grain and livestock markets are coming up.
Spring planting across the Hoosier State is underway, and motorists are more likely to encounter slow-moving farm equipment on Indiana's rural roads. I'm Bruce Kettler, Director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. Hoosier Ag Today, several Indiana state agencies, and all of us at ISDA are teaming up to ask all motorists to keep an eye out for large farm equipment and avoid distracted driving. Be careful and patient when passing, and don't tailgate. Visit isda.in.gov. Farmers and motorists, let's look out for each other this spring.
Settlements from Wednesday: July corn up only half a cent at 772 and a quarter, September at 739 and three quarters, one and a quarter lower, December corn down two at 723 and a quarter. July beans dropping 12 at 1681, August at 1620 and a half, 11 and three quarters lower, November beans down four and three quarters at 1512 and three quarters. July wheat futures down six and a half at 1148 and a quarter. The livestock markets were mixed. June live cattle down 42 cents at 132.30, while June lean hogs were up 2 cents at 109.05. And that's your Wednesday Farm Market Review for your Thursday Hoosier Ag Today podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. For Andy Eubank, Eric Pfeiffer, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.